mindfulness mode.
Just accept the things that we hear from the universe and not try to force what we think we're supposed to do.
Hey, Mindful Tribe. Welcome back to another episode of Mindfulness Mode. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different because I'm interviewing a past client and a current friend because she's become my friend now. And I'm really excited because we did a lot of sessions together. We worked together for quite some time before we actually met in person. And I worked with my guest using hypnosis and coaching. And you're going to find out what her feedback is on all this. So today, I'm very, very excited to tell you that I'm featuring Lindsay Rind. Lindsay, are you in mindfulness mode today?
I sure am. Thanks for asking.
That's good. So Lindsay, what does mindfulness mean to you?
Well, I think like for the most part, it's just being aware and being present in the moment and trying to take in as much information as you can while still being, you know, joyful and happy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Lindsay, I'm thinking back to when I first met you, and I met you not in person, as I mentioned. I met you online, and it was, I believe, back in about 2020. Would that be right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me what state you were in back at that time, just before you met me. What was your life like, Lindsay? What did it look like?
Well, I had just gone through some major life changes, and I was increasingly more frustrated with my inability to get anything done. I felt lost and confused and, like I said, frustrated about just going forward, like moving forward in my life and making decisions, even small decisions and even large decisions.
I remember you telling me that you couldn't decide what socks to wear, that was a big deal and that was frustrating you. Do you remember that?
Oh, totally. Yeah. So, you know, you want to get ready for the day, but, you know, you open the drawer and to where your socks are. And I just, okay, well, I've got this one. I could put those on. Oh, but those are, yeah, those aren't the right color. Or, you know, I just couldn't pick a pair. And the more you stand there and look at it, the more frustrated you get because, like, obviously this is a simple decision. Just pick some, put them on. And I just couldn't do it. I just, like, too many things were racing through my head. Too many potentials, like very frustrating situation.
And how were you feeling in your body back then?
Oh, well, I guess if frustration had a feeling, it would be agitated, you know, like just completely agitated and, you know, it's not good. It wasn't a good feeling at all. I don't know. I'm pretty sure other people have gone through this feeling, but it just wasn't a nice thing at all.
Well, I remember you talking about some pain that you were having in your body.
Well, yeah, that's like amazing too, because the pain that I have is completely gone. So I forget about stuff. I'm really, I like to forget bad things. So yeah, for sure. I did. And I would, I did a job outside and I couldn't carry on doing it because every day I was in pain and I had to stop doing that job because I just couldn't function. So, and I'd go to sleep and in the middle of the night, I'd wake up and my hips would hurt. My knees would hurt, you know, my ankles, almost like every joint I had hurt. And it didn't really make a lot of sense. It kind of felt like I had fallen down the stairs, but I was just doing my everyday things. And I think some of that pain was probably coming from the unsettledness in my head.
Right. I remember telling you that I didn't work specifically on pain, that that's not my area of hypnosis that I work on. And we went ahead and did sessions. And then I remember one day asking you, well, how's the pain? And what did you say?
What pain?
Yeah, I know. You did. You said, what? I don't have any pain. And I'm like, well, what about in your feet? What about in your ankles? What about in your shoulders? What about in your neck? Because you had told me about pain, and it was serious pain. It was like really, really, I don't know if you used the word excruciating, but it was pain that really affected you, wasn't it?
It was like on a scale, like a 1 to 10. I was always in like a 9 of pain. You know, I was almost always something burned. You know, my hips would burn. And it wasn't, you know, I try to rationalize it, say, well, what is going on? But none of my joints were swollen. Like they weren't hot to the touch. Like you'd think I was injured, but you know, I wasn't. I just had a pain like everywhere. So, yeah.
So tell Mindful Tribe what you had gone through in 2018 that was really a significant life change.
Okay. So I guess, the beginning of 2018 was pretty good, but near the end, I had a few things happen, all kind of around November. Well, for sure November. I remember my uncle, who I was pretty close with, passed away on the 2nd of November. And I was in charge of his estate. I was the executor of his will. So I had that to look after. But then on the 5th of November, one of my nephews passed away, which was completely sudden and obviously unexpected. He's a younger guy. He's almost 30 years old. And then on the 10th of November, my husband came and said, well, I'm leaving. And he took about 20 minutes to pack up a few things and he drove away. And right in the middle of, at the end of all of this other news. And it was completely overwhelming. I was maybe like lost. Things were going along a certain way, and all of a sudden, everything is different. You know, all of a sudden, I'm at a place where I don't know where I am. Now what do I do? So,
And how long had you been married to him?
20 years.
So that was a 20-year marriage that just ended just in an instant.
Ended in 20 minutes, yeah. And he came in and said he was leaving, and he did. He just left.
Wow.
So... yeah, kind of shocking.
I'm kind of sitting here thinking, wow, with all that happened in a couple of weeks, the 1st of November, you must have been in a state of complete shock. Looking back, do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I try to keep everything logical and, you know, keep everything together. Well, this is because of that. And, but it's a lot, it's a lot for a person to try to process all of these major events happening in like a short period of time, less than 10 days.
Yeah.
So there was a lot going on.
And in the title of the episode, From Chaos to Peace, that makes sense. Did that feel like chaos at that time?
It was totally chaos. And I work at a place that's unionized, so I couldn't really take any time off because we were renegotiating our contract. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have access to our benefits at the time. So I had to keep going to work too, because I didn't have any other way of supporting myself. Right. So everything is just crumbling around me and I had no relief. So it was like a fairly pressure situation. I you know, you kind of forget really that stuff happens like that, but yeah.
Did you have any friends to reach out to or any other relatives to reach out to for support at that time?
Well, not really. Like most of my family has passed, so I'm fairly the singular person. Mm-hmm. I guess now. Wow. And my sister, I'm like immediately called my sister because she's around. I don't talk to her a whole lot, but she came and helped me a little bit. So, but for that, I'm pretty quiet person, so I don't have a lot of really close friends. really.
Right. Yeah. And I remember you telling me that you felt so alone in the world. Do you remember that?
Oh gosh. Yeah. And you know what? Like sometimes when I think back of all of those things, I feel so, so lucky now that I have all the things I do have, but, walking around feeling lost and alone is pretty, deep and dark. Like, yeah, I didn't have a lot of social network that I could depend on at that time.
Looking back, do you think you had any aspect of depression? Did you feel discouraged to the point that it felt like depression?
Well, I have depression. I have a major depressive disorder. So it's kind of a constant. I've had that my whole life and feel like it's an everyday thing. So I guess to me, and I also kind of grew up in a chaotic sort of environment. So chaos and depression for me kind of go, and anxiety kind of all go together. I'm just, yeah.
Right. But so for 20 years, there must have been some semblance of order and sameness. Is that right? Because you were married for 20 years. Did it feel like that?
Oh, yeah. I think at the time, I think that's why I was married.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that I was married to was very orderly, mm-hmm. somewhat kind of strict in a way. And I think that was the draw, really, like moving towards some sameness was part of the reason why we kind of hit it off.
Okay, right. And I remember you telling me that some people told you that they believed you had Asperger's. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, my sister did. Yeah. Or some form of autism. Yeah, I'm pretty orderly. I do a couple funny things that, you know, I don't think a lot of, can we call them regular people do? Like only special people do these things.
What kind of things are you referring to? Do you want to share that or not?
I can think of, well, when I was very young, I would do some like rocking and which like nobody else would do. And they'd be like, well, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
And I'd get a little bit of like, you know, side eye kind of thing.
Okay. Yes.
And just I was very quiet. I didn't talk very much when I was a kid. I looked down quite a bit and didn't have, you know, the friends, but I didn't really notice that I didn't have friends as a kid. I just, you know, it was very much to myself and people would say I was in my own little world. Yeah. And then when I got married, I was told quite a bit how different I was than everybody else. You know, there'd be, you know, pine trees in a row. And one of them would be like a blue spruce and they'd be like, oh, that's you. You're the blue spruce in this line of, in the line of trees. So, yeah, I was told quite a bit that I had some differences. So I don't know. I think it kind of helps me at the same time, but you know, I had a boyfriend in university and, you know, some of my family said, oh, have you noticed any weird things about her yet? I think she's got a little bit of, you know, something a little unusual going on with her or whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm trying to make a good impression. Why are you?
Yeah. So your family said that to your boyfriend.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. And even now I still have little things I do, but I don't really, doesn't really bother me. It's like, I don't care.
So let's skip ahead to when we had our first session and you decided to do work with me using hypnosis. What were your concepts of hypnosis at that time?
None. Like, really, I thought, you know, everybody sees the stage hypnosis and they're like, oh, that's a fun little party game. And, you know, other than that, not much. Because you don't see it. You don't see, you know, the real hypnosis. You don't see
right.
the people doing it or anything. It's just like all for show, the showy one. But then, you know, you showed me some materials about what it was about, how it worked. And I really believed in that sort of part of our our conscious mind versus our unconscious mind.
And I think this was a few months after November, wasn't it? About January or February?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I thought so. And so then we went into a session, and can you describe what it was like being in that first session where I was telling you about these things?
Sure. So there was a small video that I could watch, and it would tell me basically what to expect and the background behind hypnosis itself and kind of what you needed to do to have hypnosis do like the most benefit for you, like for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I did that, and I'm a pretty open person generally. Like my part of my personality is quite open to new things and other stuff. So I was willing to try it. And since I was in such a disarray, I was very willing to try and get myself out of this kind of deep, dark hole that I was in.
Right. And so do you remember after a couple of sessions, how you started to feel different and how your life changed?
Yeah, so it was kind of slow to me that I didn't realize it. Because when you're under hypnosis, you're kind of seeing all of the things that are in your subconscious, but you're not really paying attention to it. You're just basically an observer to it. I think slowly things started to like shift together. Things started to be a little more calm and easygoing, and I didn't worry about as many things. And I would go through the hypnosis sessions, and then I naturally want to know everything about what happened, like what all of those things meant. I noticed small changes, like things were becoming easier. I was able to make small decisions. You know, I would have concerns about, oh, there's a major task I have to do that's coming up. Can you help me with sorting my brain around that? And, you know, the pain in my body was slowly going away, and I didn't really recognize that it was going away because it was, you know, doing just that. It was disappearing. So I didn't recognize it until like the day that you said, well, like, what about the pain that you've been having? And I was shocked, like, you know, shocked that where did it go? I've had this for so long, and all of a sudden it's just, wait a minute, gone.
Yeah. And I remember sometime later, we went on a session, and you said to me, I have a question. This might sound kind of silly, but you said,
I remember this.
I have this question. You said, I can't remember why I hired you. I can't remember why I started coming to you. And I was like, seriously? And then I brought up the paperwork, and I said, well, okay, well, this is it. You know, this is what you were experiencing. This is what you were feeling. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I have a session tonight, and I'm feeling pretty good. And then I couldn't really remember exact, like I probably could if I thought I'm feeling good. And so then I got on the call with you, and I'm like, so I can't remember why am I working with you again? Like, I thought it was good. You know, I thought, oh, wow, this is such a big change. And it really wasn't that long after we had even started. It might have been,
Yeah, I'm not sure how many sessions, but yes, I was like wowed. I was completely wowed at the transformation that had come over you. And you just seemed so much lighter. You seemed so much happier. And yes, you were not mentioning pain at all anymore. And I didn't work specifically on the pain. I was working on other things with the hypnosis, and the hypnosis just seemed to come so naturally to you. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, I was a little concerned at first that I might not be able to do it because I'm so logical as a person. I'm logical, and I like things to be sort of, you know, this equals that sort of thing. And I guess the fact that I am kind of open to new things, and I really wanted to have my life in order because I knew deep down that I was way better than what I was able to produce. You know, right. I'm way better than this. I know how to do these things. Why can't I do these things? And I really, yeah, was like awed.
Yeah. I remember there were a lot of specific practical things because I remember saying to you, okay, if you could change something in your life right now, wave a magic wand and change that thing, what would it be? And then you said, oh, if my garage were just cleaned up, if it were tidy, yeah. it's just a nightmare and I can't seem to do anything with it. I can't. And so I said, okay, we'll work on that. And then we yep. just worked on it step by step, logistically. I said, okay, if you could move one thing, what would it be? If you could, you know, and we just talked about it. And you told me it almost did seem like magic that then you were able to do what you needed to do. And then you felt good every time that garage door went up. Do you remember that?
Yes, for sure. Well, I remember it being, you know, the garage door go up and I'd be like, oh, maybe I'll just close it and go back out, you know?
Yeah.
But then, you know, given the changes, you know, I could just, you know, put a thing where it went and do I need this and should I get rid of that? And, you know, it all worked out, it all sorted out, everything got to where it was in a neat spot. And that makes you feel so much better when things are the yeah. way you, I guess, imagine they should be, you know.
For sure. And I remember, one of the things was I remember, well, you were from a double income family. You and your husband were both earning income. And then suddenly that wasn't the case. And you still had expenses. You still had a mortgage. You still had all kinds of expenses. And you talked to me about that challenge and that struggle. And then we just brainstormed. And I said, well, if you could live in a different space, what would it be like? And what would you do? And then you came up with all these ideas that I think to you seemed like maybe they were just impractical, or maybe you didn't know if you could possibly pull them off. But the idea, is it okay with you if I share the idea?
Yeah.
Or do
yeah,
you want yeah. to share the idea?
Well, start.
Yeah, yeah. So you said, well, you know, I live in this 3-bedroom house, but I would just be really comfortable and really happy just living in the basement, and I could just rent out the 3 rooms upstairs, and that would give me income and I'd feel comfortable and cozy down there. And so then we talked about that, and I said, okay, what's stopping you and how could you do that? How could you make that happen? And then it really actually wasn't very long before you had tenants. And you had income yeah. coming in because you just made that happen step by step. Remember that?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I had one, I started with one, and then, you know, I thought, well, I have all these, I keep going, might as well have, you know, rent the next room. And really, when I went up, when I was in the upstairs, it reminded me a lot of my old life.
Right.
So I wasn't really comfortable up there anyway.
Yeah.
And the downstairs became a new spot, a new, you know, I had a couple things done to it so that it was more livable. Mm-hmm. And it sort of was meant to be in a way, because, you know, I wasn't comfortable in that space anyway. And I had a couple people move in and it fixed that problem of me being able to afford, you know, when you're separated and divorced, things sometimes get a little more expensive,
yeah.
especially when interest rates go up.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, I know yeah. that you had a lot of changes financially. And I know that one of the things you talked to me about was how alone you felt in the world. And you felt, you said you were obsessed with the idea that you were going to die early. Do you remember that?
Yeah, my parents both passed early in life. Like my dad was 51 and my mom was 60. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, like I think a lot of people do, you follow in the footsteps of your parents because you're genetically related to them. Mm-hmm. So, and their parents didn't live very long either. I only have one grandparent that lived into their 90s. So most of my direct relatives passed in their 60s mm-hmm. or 50s and, or even their 40s. Sorry. And, I thought, well, that's just gotta be my fate. And I'm sure that's going to happen to me. And I would worry all the time about, you know, well, oh, now I've got this, I've got something wrong with me, and I have, you know, oh, this is going to happen to me, and a little bit of, you know, pessimism, and oh, now I'm sick, you know,
yeah.
Just stuff like that. And it now I don't really think about that at all.
Do you think the hypnosis sessions helped you let go of that?
Totally. You know, like I didn't even know how to let go of things before the hypnosis sessions. I didn't know that I didn't need to worry about everything. You know, I feel like now most of my, you know, thinking or planning is not worrying at all about stuff, because I've kind of come to realize I'm not really in charge of a lot of things. I've kind of allowed the, you know, the universe to just guide me into where I should go and what I should do. You know, I still have free will, but, you know, if I just sit and listen, a lot of good answers and information will present itself to me.
So would you see yourself as a religious person?
Not strictly religious, but quite spiritual, I would say, because I believe that, you know, if we, when we pass on, we don't really end. Mm-hmm. Our lives don't end. I feel now like all of my parents and my grandparents that have all passed on are around me, and they love me and they support me, and I don't feel alone as I used to. Now that I feel like I have guides that help me, and I don't really feel so alone as I used to. I just kind of let, I'm not exactly sure how I got to this point. It might be hypnosis, but I think that a lot of my experience is me making decisions and having the universe help me with my life.
Yeah.
So I've let go of a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, this is really interesting to just have a chance to sit down and talk to you about all this. I've worked in the field of bullying prevention a long time, as you know. Do you have any story at all that relates to bullying and how maybe mindfulness would have made a difference?
For sure. I don't really remember being bullied as a kid, mm-hmm. pretty much because I didn't really notice anybody around me when I was younger.
Right.
Which is a kind of a bit of on that spectrum idea. But I think in any case of bullying, mindfulness can help a person just by realizing, you know, what's important in the moment. Bullies really have a hard time. You know, they're trying to transfer their hard time onto somebody else. And knowing that, we can have a little bit more understanding or compassion towards that person. I know it's hard. I know it's very hard to feel that way when you're getting shoved in a locker, or, you know, someone's, you know, throwing bits of sandwich at you from across the cafeteria, yeah. or whatever it is that's happening. It gets really, really hard. But when you know that in the moment that person is having a hard time themselves, that you might even be the answer to their problem. You might even be the friend they need. It's important to love yourself, because you are loved. People are loved by the spirits around them. And it's really important to love yourself. So in the moment, I think that if you think about bullying, then it's really important to love yourself.
As we move forward in the interview, I want to ask you 5 quick answer questions. So just 30-second answers are perfect. The first one is this: who is one person who has been a powerful mindfulness influence in your life?
Well, I think you, because I've never really paid much attention to mindfulness before. So my very first influence with mindfulness has been you. And I just came across that, I would say not accidentally. Mm-hmm. There was some divine force that probably said, okay, this guy's going to help you. And we just sort of met. I was referred by a friend who knew, you know, your friend. And mm-hmm. So I would definitely say you, Bruce Langford.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm really pleased to know that I've made that difference for you in your life. That's fantastic. My second question is about emotions. How has mindfulness changed about how you deal with your emotions?
Well, how has it? A lot. It has a lot, because when you take mindfulness and you live in the moment and you think, okay, well, I'm feeling anxious, and how do I get myself out of this anxious feeling? And you try to settle yourself, you know, you sit on the end of your bed and you just breathe in, breathe out. you know, you can settle yourself down. You know, I don't really get angry that much, but being in the moment or mindfulness can really help you regulate your emotions just by being calm.
Yeah, totally. Any thoughts on breathing, Lindsay? Any special breathing techniques you have or any thoughts?
Well, I know that there's a lot of breathing techniques, but the one I like the most is maybe something that isn't talked about a lot. And for me to get sort of calmed down into breathing, I like to listen to music, and music comes in like regular patterns, and it is built around a structure. And when you listen to it, you start to breathe in the cadence of the music, mm-hmm. or I do. And you can just have that sort of take your mind off of your issue and start to incorporate your mind into the song. And you'll start to calm down. I'll start to calm down and start breathing with the music, start breathing into phrases. And that really helps me.
That's awesome. And I don't think any guest has really explained it in that same way that you have on Mindfulness Mode. So I really appreciate that different insight into breathing. My next question is about a book. Is there a book about mindfulness or related to mindfulness that you would recommend, Lindsay?
Sure. Like when I was about 15, I got into a book club where you would sign up for a book every month and mm-hmm. it would be mailed to you.
Yeah.
And I just signed up for a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Right.
By Stephen R. Covey.
Yes.
And so 15 years old, that was a little while ago, but that book is still around. And as a 15-year-old, I learned a lot from it. Like what is in my control and what isn't in my control? And what do I need to focus my energy on versus, you know, that's not in my, you know, circle of influence. And so that was a really good book for me.
Cool.
I'm sure it would be good for others as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wonderful book, absolutely. Any apps that you would recommend? And you've already talked about music, so it wouldn't surprise me if it was an app related to music, but maybe it isn't. Do you have any thoughts about apps?
Well, yeah, I do like my music apps. Mm-hmm. They're great. But there's so many apps out there that they can become overwhelming in themselves.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, and you can get yourself lost in the cyber land.
Yeah.
So I think really the best app is going outside.
Yeah.
Forget the app and go outside and like walk through like the tree, through the forest, through the trees, like see birds and trees and look around and feel, you know, the temperature of the air and how it changes and the wind and the hearing things, like hearing the leaves in the trees rustling and chirping. And, you know, there might be a brook over there that's kind of, you know, bubbling or whatever. And just taking that in instead of a lot of other things that might be in an app. Like for me, an app is somebody else's idea of what I should be doing. Where if I go outside, then that's all about me.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we'll put all of this in our show notes at mindfulnessmode.com, Mindful Tribe, so you can check it out. Well, it's really fascinating to talk to you in this context and interview you for the show. And if someone listening felt stuck, or maybe they feel a lot of anxiety, or maybe you're listening and you just feel, you know, some of these thoughts like Lindsay described, like you're just stressed out in a crazy kind of way. Lindsay, what would you recommend?
Well, just get in touch with somebody that can help you. You know, like I was lucky. I found you through a friend of a friend, you know, they could call you or whatever mm-hmm. and just see, you know, if that's going to work out. But ask somebody for help. You know, you know, we have to be here doing, you know, on earth things by ourselves, but we don't have to always do them alone.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're here to help each other. I truly believe that. And yeah, Mindful Tribe, absolutely. You can send me an email, bruce@mindfulnessmode.com, if you want to. And I'd be very happy to sit down and talk to you in a free session about what can help you and give you some advice and some suggestions. And Lindsay, I'm just thrilled and honored that I was able to work with you and that it actually helped you, as you've described in this interview. It's just really a great feeling to work with clients, and I've worked with a lot of clients, but it's wonderful to work with a client and then to be able to sit down and you're willing to be so open about the before and after. So I really appreciate that, Lindsay.
I appreciate knowing you and having you help me a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any final words of advice, Lindsay, for our Mindful Tribe listeners, just before we wrap up the interview?
Well, I guess, you know, people I see rushing all over the place, trying to get here, trying to get there. I feel like we're all trying to do too much. And if we try to slow down and just accept the things that we hear from the universe and not try to force what we think we're supposed to do and allow the universe to help us, it could be very helpful.
Absolutely. Great advice. Well, with that, we will wrap up the interview. Thanks again for being on the show, Lindsay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Right. Bye now.
Hey, bye.
Hey, Mindful Tribe, thanks for being on the show today, for listening. And like you found out with my client Lindsay here on the show, you can move to a better place. You can get help. You can lose some of that anxiety or stress or that feeling like as if something's not quite right. And you can do it with help from someone else, whether it's from me or someone. And if you feel moved, you feel the inclination to contact me and to reach out, do it right now. Don't wait. Reach out. We'll set up a time when we can talk about this and we can make it happen. My email is bruce@mindfulnessmode.com. Reach out and I would be so glad to help you. So with that, take what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.